Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
So, College Football 26 is out. So what does that mean? That means we are a couple of weeks away from the actual kickoff of the football season. We got some mad, crazy NIL deals going on right now. And I don't think there's enough hours in the day to talk about everything that we want to talk about college football, but we're going to give it a try. Welcome back, Trash Talkers, to the College Football Roundtable, or if you prefer, you can just call it Ring Knocker Radio. We got three ring knockers here. We've got our one NCO to keep us on azimuth with Joe here, and we are going to knock this thing out. I'm your host, Rob, the Angry Colonel in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We've got Dano Ikebesa calling to you out of coastal Connecticut. Trigger Joe is coming to you live from the home of the Big House, and Omar, the Burger Popper, is in Oklahoma now. He is Signal Captain's Career Course certified. So you gotta hang that certificate on the wall, man. Like, what's going on? How's it going today, guys? We'll start with Dano, off to Joe, and then we'll wrap with Omar.
I almost nailed it off, actually.
Nice.
I'm good, man. It's been crazy. It's hard to think about football with the swim across the sound still 2.5 weeks away. I'm still sort of locked in heavy distance swimming mode, but yeah, we got to get hot. Like, I've got a article for Ask for Football in my inbox ready to go, waiting on one more piece. And you're going to write that piece for us on College Football 26,
yep,
which I hear is way different somehow.
Yeah. Well, like, not to get too much into the article, but like, a lot of the embellishments have changed. And okay. So the big key to it is the night games. So like, if you have a night game, it's a completely different aesthetic at night than it is in the daytime. And so for the teams that have, like, you know, day and night rituals, so like Enter Sandman for Virginia Tech is probably the easiest one. So like, as you boot the game up, play a night game at Virginia Tech, and then you'll get the full shebang-a-bang of like their night entrance. And so there's like drone shows. And the main thing that they've changed that I like is the recruiting. So the way that they built the recruiting this season is you actually, like, when you contact the players, you get feedback from, you know, their family or their friends or whatnot. So you know which areas as a coach to focus in on your recruiting. So you basically have multiple levers to the recruiting. Mm-hmm. And for the first time in the history of all these NCAA college football games, they give you a window of what your team needs. So as you're recruiting, you can hit all the players that are going to be missing from your team next year that are going to graduate or whatever. And there's some interesting things, but there's some other stuff under the hood that I'll dive into when I write the article. And then I'll focus specifically on, you know, how to coach as a service academy coach in the college football game.
I got one question before we move on. Stretch goal. Are you recruiting for the military academy when you're recruiting for the Army football team? Oof. On there?
Yeah. 100%. So like, you can actually go in and set your team to where you can have a set number of transfers that are allowed onto the team or not. So I have it set at zero. Okay. Right. So that's one of the things.
I guess what I'm saying is, like, are they like, no, I don't want to go to West Point because I don't want to join the Army, or
yeah,
that,
well,
that not in the game yet.
No, that's not in the game. That might be in the Road to Glory. So you're like, nah, man, I don't want to go to West Point. Like,
well, if I'm an opposing coach, can I start war rumors to scare your recruits off?
Yeah, I mean, that's possible.
Can I send some disinformation out there?
Yeah, for sure. All right, so Joe, how about you? How are things in your world?
Oh man, just a great summer so far with the littles, and it's smoking hot here in Michigan. As of the last 2 weeks, it's been hitting the 90s. So. Just really excited to see. There hasn't been this much hype around a Michigan quarterback since my crosstown rival Drew Henson went there. And it's mainly because he's such a high five star in the state of Michigan. So it's going to be exciting. And like I spoke to you earlier, I'm hoping for the best for the kid, because if he doesn't throw 30 touchdowns this year and beat Oklahoma in the early game, people are going to start talking. And I mean, I don't want to get into the show in the intro, but college football is changing, man. It's almost like a semi-pro sport now. Yeah. So, I mean, it by model, it essentially is.
Yeah,
100%. But it's been great, and the Tigers just so happen to have the best record in baseball. What a shock! So it's been a good summer so far.
Yeah, great. Omar, how about you? Newly minted Signal Captain's Career Course. So what are your thoughts?
Well, thank you. Well, things are great here, except on the internet front. So if I honestly, if like I drop out or I like lose track of the conversation, like the internet situation here is not great. We're trying to figure that out. Like, as is, you know, living in a city in Oklahoma with only 3,000 people, a Brahms, a Sonic, and that's about it out here in Elgin. The great place, Elgin, though, safest city in Oklahoma. So, you know, I guess if one word to feel it, it's safe. You know, but excited for college football season to come. So, yeah, things are great. I've met more Cowboys fans as an Oklahoma State than Sooners fans down here, surprisingly. Our gas guy is excited for the Gundy tenure this year, so we'll see. I mean, I didn't want to burst his bubble, but I don't think it's looking so great in a very balanced Big 12. But things are swell out here.
Nice. And for me, summer's been good, man. Like, been traveling a lot more for work than I thought I would. That's all right, because that's a good thing. Exploring new places and faces. And speaking of exploring new faces and places, we have somebody that can help you find a new home. So if you're PCSing to the Fort Bragg area, we have the realtor for you, Jocelyn Bradley. Jocelyn is a veteran who spent her Army career in logistics, where she discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream homes when they're in the market, and she provides exceptional service when she's working for you. Jocelyn has an extensive network of veteran realtors who can support you if you're relocating somewhere else in the country. So if you're in the market for a home, Jocelyn should be your first call. Jocelyn has decided to support Astro football again this year, which is great. And she's the right person to get you into the home of your dreams. So if you are moving anywhere in the country, she has a network of trusted realtors that you can get in touch with and help you find a place to land. So Omar, if you decide to move out of your safe place and move into another area in the neighborhood, like, give Jocelyn a call and she can help you find a spot. But the reality of it is like, that's how the West Point network works. We'll dive into it a little bit more. But hey, let's hit the off-season headlines. So the first one that we have to talk about, and like for me, like it's a mixed bag. I have my thoughts on it, you know, and we've mused about it. But what are your thoughts on Shedeur Sanders going late in the draft? It wasn't really a college football thing, but it affects it. Like, given how everything is going now with name, image, and likeness, and now the, you know, players being paid by the universities. What are your thoughts? We'll go with Omar. We'll lead. So in case his internet drops out, we can jump on to Joe and then Dan. Thanks.
Well, first off, with the whole draft thing, I'm going to share my famous quote among my friends about the draft, where I don't watch a draft because if I wanted to watch people read, I'd go to the local library or the book fair. So to be honest, I just follow the draft on Twitter. But I think – so the whole Shedeur Sanders thing, I think it was both – I felt bad for, I guess Shedeur, because he was, I guess, lied to, I guess, by front offices, or he had, like, some sort of, you know, like, it's a misnomer in his value. But I also don't feel bad because he's not the first prolific college quarterback, especially from a power conference, to be passed over like that. I know the comparison that was brought up was Gardner Minshew. After he had his great year in 2018, he landed in around the same place. So I just think it's all part of the game. Unless there's like confirmation, I don't know if there's actually been confirmation about collusion. It's unfortunate though, but I will say, I think he landed in, him slash Dylan Gabriel landed in the worst quarterback spot for a young quarterback in general. Not just that, I know that people give a lot of guff about like quarterbacks in general, but this is the worst place for a young quarterback to go to, because they have Kenny Pickett with no clear plan. They clearly had no clear plan for Dorian Thompson-Robinson. I mean, he's on the Eagles or Kenny Pickett. And there's just a countless, like, and just in the past 5 years, a countless amounts of young quarterbacks that they have put through the grinder. Heck, even Bailey Zappi made a cameo appearance for the Browns for whatever reason. They, like, a good young quarterback that needed some development, you know, had no plan with the Browns. So overall, that's just my thoughts on the Shedeur situation. I don't really have anything big on, like, he was polluted against, but I wish him the best. I think he's a great passer, but it happens all the time with good power conference quarterbacks being, you know, sliding the draft like that.
Yeah, for sure. Dano, how about you?
It's hard to say, but he's a smaller guy, and I think there was plenty of skepticism. It's a position that automatically doesn't necessarily translate as well as you might want it to, and he wasn't playing in the SEC. He was playing in the Big 12, so I just think that there was a lot of room for skepticism. And with all that skepticism on top of Deion Sanders' just whole presence, I think people didn't want a volunteer quarterback coach. It's like, this guy comes with Deion. Okay, but is that a plus or a minus? And, you know, obviously they made a decision. It just wasn't worth it. You know, too much hassle.
Yeah, for sure. Joe, what are your thoughts?
You know, it's a tough one to address accurately, like Dano said. I will say it did feel personal to me to touch on what Dano's last point. It did feel a little personal to me towards taking the Sanders family as a package. And maybe a little bit of that is, and we talked about it on the phone, maybe a little bit of that is the fact that when Deion was a player, he could hold these guys hostage because he was that great. And maybe this was payback, you know, but could I be wrong? Sure. You know, having said that, the current viewpoint amongst Cleveland Browns insiders and players that I've seen is that they love him. I mean, as far as the mini camp, the way he addresses practice, all that talk I heard on draft day has shifted, and it looks like he's getting along really well with the Browns. So, I mean, they might actually have a draft gem in Cleveland for once and a steal. But the best thing about football is we always have that old quote to lean on. That's why they play the games. The truth about Shedeur Sanders, what kind of quarterback is going to come out, what kind of quarterback he is going to come out. You know, it's going to come out on the field, he's going to be holding the clipboard, and that'll tell you, you know, what you need to know is the way the starters worked out in camp. But I feel like some of the higher ups kind of wanted to let his dad know, you know, maybe this time we're in charge. But like I said, I could be wrong about that.
Yeah.
Well, social media talked about it for 4 days afterwards.
So. Yeah, I think for me, it's pretty straightforward, man. Like there is a lot of dislike of Deion Sanders as a coach, right? And I legitimately think that there's a lot of speculation like, oh, Prime's going to Dallas. You know, like everybody was talking about that at one point, you know, like, hey, he's going to leave Colorado and go to Dallas or blah, 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 blah. I think the whole situation with Shedeur was kind of like a warning shot from the NFL to Deion. It's like, hey, things have changed, just like college football has changed. And we are not going to allow this to happen. Right. Whether it's right or wrong. You know, it is what it is. And like I said, it'll come out on his play on the field. To Dan's point, like Shedeur being undersized, like, yeah, he's an undersized for an NFL quarterback. But you know who else probably is a little undersized? C.J. Stroud, right? He's not a big kid either.
Bryce Young's not a big dude.
Yeah, and both of those guys are shredding it in the pros. So it also has to do with the supporting cast around him, right? So I think, you know, at the collegiate level, Shedeur had no offensive line his first year. Like they didn't have a running game as a junior, you know, as a sophomore. As a junior, they got a little bit better, but he still was the most sacked quarterback in college football. You can't base it off of that statistic because there's 10 other players on the field. You know what I mean? And I don't think that's a fair assessment of him to hamper his draft status. And there was a point in the outline that Dan didn't cover, but I'll mention that as well. You know, it didn't hurt Travis Hunter, right? Like,
Sure.
The exact opposite effect.
That's what makes me think it's a, you know, parental thing and not a Colorado thing, because they came out, you know, Travis Hunter obviously won the Heisman and like did all the great stuff, but they came out of the same program with a lot of similar accolades. And Travis Hunter, you know, he's in a good spot now.
Yeah. And I think that's, go ahead, Joe.
Oh, just to touch on that. I read it today that, he is the first player in history to have his number retired and not be drafted in the first round.
Yeah.
That's what I mean of recent memory or I'm sorry, to not be drafted in the first two rounds.
Yeah. And look, at the end of the day, you know, Deion Sanders is going to be a controversial dude. He's always been a controversial figure, whether he is coaching at Colorado or somewhere else. There's always going to be buzz around that guy. So moving on to the next thing, speaking of buzz, let's talk about this massive NIL compensation lawsuit. So I dropped it in the outline. Like there actually is a website now for like a class action lawsuit against the NC2A to get these kids their money back. But the long story short is, you know, a court decided that the NCAA has to pay back $2.8 billion over the next 10 years for name, image, and likeness of student athletes. Now, are they going to rectify some, are they going to right some of the wrongs? Like, we saw Reggie Bush get his Heisman Trophy back, which was kind of cool to see, because like nobody really had anything bad to say about Reggie Bush, you know, but what about all those other players that kind of got caught up in that? But we'll start with Joe, over to Dan, and then we'll wrap with Omar. What are your thoughts on this huge lawsuit and the implications for college football?
I mean, $2.8 billion, that is a hell of a number. I feel like it was necessary based on all the information that's coming out across college football landscape as it pertains to universities not supporting players making money outside of the university. And I understand what the university's standpoint is, that they want the player to solely earn from them. So it's almost like an employer-employee relationship. But I feel like we're getting dangerously close to some of the universities claiming ownership of the players. And I think that was a lot of what was going on. And to touch on what I didn't put in the outline, Mitch Albom said, if Chris Webber ever took a dime from anybody, I don't know where he hid it. I interviewed that kid every day he played at Michigan, and he was broke. I used to buy him McDonald's. So I don't know what money he took, but those, you know, that was, he was walking down the street with him, and there was a Webber jersey in the window. He goes, look at that. He goes, that's $100 for that. I can't afford McDonald's. Something's not right.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dano, how about you?
I agree, and I get why all this is necessary, but I am concerned for two reasons. And the first is because these guys are going to be employees, which means because they're getting paid, then you're by definition putting all academics second, because this is now your job. And, you know, that's just not supposed to be the deal. Like, these are not student athletes. These are now athletes. Yeah. And maybe they're students, and I don't love that.
Great
and point. The thing that I dislike even more than that is that, you know, smaller D1 schools could get priced completely out of college football. And in trying to keep up, they're going to cut opportunities for so many athletes in non-revenue sports. And man, I say this all the time. I learn more from college sports than I learn from college classes, like just in terms of how to deal with the stuff that you go through, how to not quit, how to sort of work towards a goal in a defined way. And this settlement is great for truly elite athletes, and there's absolutely no reason why a person should not be able to profit off their name, image, and likeness. But it is a negative for most athletes, I think, because it's just going to cut down on the number of opportunities total overall across all sports. And that part I can't love.
Yeah, for sure. Omar, how about you? You are a resident FCS and, you know, expert. But one of the things that I'm afraid of, and I'm sure you'll elaborate on this point a little bit more, is like the guys that are taking the – I'm going to do – perfect example. Look at Boston College's quarterback, right? So he plays 2 years at BC. Now he transfers to Florida State, same conference. And is that a lateral move or is he moving up? Like, given the way that Florida State played last year, it's probably a lateral move by comparison to Boston College. But – that being said, you know, are we going to see that interplay between like a smaller school that can afford a football program losing their talent to, you know, one of the bigger programs in the group of four? But I'll let you elaborate on your point. I'll pause there.
Yeah, I think that's a good point too. I'm Rob, and to add to that, I do think that there will be haves and have nots from a conference perspective. I can't really say to the FCS level, but in terms of like backing and in terms of opting into the house settlement itself, I know there's teams within conferences that are opting out of the settlement and staying in the conference, like with teams that are opting out into the settlement or whatever I just said. Teams are opting in, teams are opting out that are in the same conference. And so that might cause some sort of disparity. To be honest, I feel like the whole house settlement, it's great that the athletes are getting their final due, but I've told people, it's like, look, I don't know. I don't know what type of free time you have, but I simply do not have the free time to sit through hundreds of pages of legal documents. So I just choose to sort of just have a general basis with the house settlement. What I will say is this, an interesting quote I found was, I don't know what athletic director it was, but it was one at the FCS level. I want to say it was either Montana's or South Dakota State's. It said, to be honest, I don't know what FBS or FCS will be anymore. If you're FBS, is it because you're opting into the house settlement or because you're playing in bowl games? So I think that sort of confusion, I do think that a split is on the way between the FC or FBS, where there will be kind of an FBS light. I don't really know what to call it, where there will be, you know, the teams that opt in the house settlement, you know, will all be in one group, and teams that opt out will be kind of a third FCS, which it's interesting because I guess it means more teams will get to play in bowl games. You know, that's always fun. But I think in the end, too, Dano's point is really big because, like you said, a lot of athletes are losing opportunities in non-revenue sports. You see schools cutting programs already. But also, too, with the roster caps, something I didn't notice at first, I didn't think of at first, was the walk-ons. How many guys, you know, the guys that really want to play on a school that they grew up watching as a kid, grew up watching, wanted to play for the kid, for the school their whole life, they end up getting boxed out because of the house settlement with the roster limits of 105. They can't even walk onto the school, and their spot is virtually taken. You know, you can't really say one-to-one, but someone that is going to transfer out 2 years to a conference rival takes that guy's that walk-on spot on the roster. I'd hate to use a term like The Rock uses, but player 106. I know The Rock likes to say player 54 with the UFL, but player 106 is really getting screwed out of here. And it's not just the non-revenue sports. It's going to be college football too, where that happens. And a lot of other places where it's like, you could afford to keep a guy not on scholarship, but if you opt in the house settlement, roster limits are roster limits. You got to follow that.
Yeah. I think what we're going to start seeing is, like, you know, I really stopped watching football when, like, free agency took over, right? When you look at the NFL, like, it's free agencies is so crazy these days. Like, 1 week the guy's at, you know, your favorite team, and the next week, like, oh, his jersey's gone because he's playing somewhere else, right? And that's already happening in college football. It's Castellanos is the BC quarterback. It took me a minute to recall that because I'm not up on my college football. But my other thing is this, you know, we're asking an 18-year-old kid to understand contract law. Right. Name, image, and likeness in and of itself is okay because that's an agreement between the player and a company or a business to, like, hey, we'll support you with X number of dollars for this period of time. But, like, when you become a university employee, like, dude, you're asking him to understand the finer points of employment law. Guess what? That means he's got to pay payroll taxes, you know, workers' comp. There's all kinds of things that, like, when you get that first real job as an adult, that, like, whoa, man, like, where did all my money go? You know, and there's a laundry list of things that get pulled out of your account because you're working in a real job. And then the other part of it is like, if I, like, what happens if one of these universities gets some crafty shark lawyer and puts a non-compete clause in there? So then you can't transfer. Because if you transfer, I'm going to put a 10-year non-compete, so your eligibility is gone. So now you're screwed. You have to graduate from the university that you signed the contract with. And I don't know if that's going to be the case, but these are the things that are going to happen, because I'd throw a morality clause in there. You're a 19-year-old kid, you get caught drinking, or you get on academic probation, you don't get paid. Like, why? Because you're not performing the tasks in which you were hired, right? And so there's a lot of pitfalls and traps that I think people are not going to see because they're celebrating the number. Like, oh, $2.8 billion, that's great. Joe, you got a point. Go for it.
Yeah, just to touch on what you're saying, the gym I go to the gym with the grandma of the number one volleyball player, girl volleyball player in the state, and she committed to Louisville. And if you're like a sports nerd like I am, that, you know what that means. That's like going to Alabama in football. But literally when we were leaving the gym, she goes, yep, get to go interview NIL lawyers today. And I was like, oh my goodness. But these kids, the short answer to that is some of these kids that are elite are protecting themselves.
Yeah.
The kids that are, I don't know, if I was taking NIL money, I would be like, okay, I need one of y'all to help me set up a lawyer. So outside of the school, I'd be like, okay, well, pay for me to get legal counsel and that'll be part of my NIL money. But not everybody's going to make that right call and be protected when they go in. So, I don't know. It's crazy to talk about college sports like this.
You gotta be careful too, because you don't want to ask your employer for a lawyer for the recommendation for a lawyer, because that is how you get conflict.
Yeah, for sure.
I realized that as I said it, I was like, giving money to go retain one or.
Yeah. But you understand, but we understand the point, Joe. And that's the scary part, right? So, like, We already took a situation that was kind of getting out of control with name, image, and likeness a couple of years ago. And now we've added a whole bunch of layers of shenanigans and calamity. So, you know, and the other part of the House settlement is it basically defanged the NC2A. So now what does the NC2A do with their like power, all this money getting thrown around? Like, do they shrink it? Do they make it smaller? Does it become a, you know, an AI prompt that you type into to like make sure that the kids follow all the bylaws? I don't know. But the reality of it is like this change is going to have everything comes at a cost. And speaking of everything coming at a cost, we'll move into the third topic or the third article of the day. And that is, you know, this is straight up a Homer discussion right now. So if you're not an Army football fan, deal with it because we're about to talk about hospitality at Mikey Stadium. So, you know, two things. Cheap plug for James from Brigade Review. He did an outstanding interview with Tom Theodorakis, the new Army AD. So if you haven't checked that out, please go do that. That's on all podcast platforms and it's on our YouTube channel. So check it out because I think it was a really good interview. But like Army is teaming up with Levy for a hospitality partnership at all the Black Knight venues. If you've been to a game at Mikey Stadium or any of the games at West Point anytime in the past couple of years, you know, what do you think about the experience? Dan, you're a season ticket holder, so we'll start with you and then we'll from there.
This is a necessity. We do the Astro Football Guide to Mikey Stadium every year, and Mikey Stadium is great, but it's always a talking point. You know, eat at your tailgate because once you get in the stadium, getting food is a pain in the ass. I mean, and it's the lines are long and then the options are kind of limited. And so if they're addressing that, like, good, that's good. I have heard rumors that there might be beer sales in the stadium. I flat out do not believe that and won't until I see it. But I guess here's hoping. But yeah, no, they got plenty of room for improvement here. I mean, Mikey Stadium is great, but dude, it is one of the oldest stadiums in the country. And there's no easy way to modernize it. I mean, you can see what they're doing to modernize the East Stand. Yeah. So they got to take baby steps for the most part. And this is a good step.
Yeah, for sure. Omar, you go to a lot of college football games, or at least you try to. What are your thoughts on this?
Let's see. I guess I could make a smart remark. Like, yeah, I'm at a college football game. I'm not at Denny's, you know, about the food. So food isn't the most paramount thing, but I can understand why improving the fan experience, which surprisingly though, I'm a younger old grad. I'm not sure if that's a term compared to you guys, but I have not been a fan of the Mikey Stadium renovations because maybe it's because I'm a product of the history department where it's like, I kind of like Mikey Stadium having a traceable footprint to like the original structure. But I understand in this world, like Army can't do direct payments, you know, beyond, you know, the cadet stipend, you know, the Army Athletic Association can't pay athletes. So maybe this is a way for better facilities to better recruitment. If we can't have the best, you know, if we can't have NIL troves, we might as well have the best facilities in the American, the best fan experience in the American. So I totally get it. But as for food, I never really got food as a cadet in Mikey Stadium. I don't really get food at stadiums because I was trained as a young kid, you know, going to games where it's like, don't buy, you know, you're not buying popcorn. I'm not paying $10 for a bucket of popcorn. And so anytime, unless it's like something like the iconic chicken bucket from Yankee Stadium, I'm not getting food. But I think it's good. It's necessary. But I'm gonna be my old man yells at cloud and say, you know, leave the concession stands alone, leave the narrow concourses alone. You know, it's the stadium was built in 1925. I don't care if the concourses are narrow, and I'll just leave it at that.
So let me just say, from one father to a man who's about to be a father, that when your three-year-old has a freaking meltdown because his blood sugar bottoms out, I'd like to readdress whether or not you buy food at Mikey Stadium.
That's
I knew that was coming.
Yeah. So for Joe, you experienced the Big House, which is one of the largest venue in college football. What are your thoughts on this change to Army?
I love to see it. They did this during the Winter Classic when the Red Wings played the Toronto Maple Leafs. But for sports nerds out there, that's an experience, hockey outdoors. But they got like a 1-day liquor license and some ramped up concessions because we were bringing people there. I'm 20 minutes from the stadium and we went out the night before and it was half people from Toronto, half Detroit. The Toronto Maple Leafs are a big deal. So Michigan ramped it up, want to make the stadium a little prettier for people from another country coming in. So the response was incredible. They're like, look, you're Michigan. You got the money. Like, do that all the time. And Michigan decided to do it. And this is going to be the first year that Michigan has alcohol and it's going to be the first year that they actually have, you know, like name, like, they have Pizza Hut now, but apparently they're getting McDonald's and a couple more, and then they're going to get like brisket sandwiches and better stuff than just hot dogs and burgers. And because believe it or not, Michigan, they went cheap on the food for a long time. And once they did that with the Maple Leafs and the Red Wings, people were like, man, you got the money to do that all the time. You're Michigan. Come on. And so they're doing it.
Yeah.
Probably going to be $13 for a Miller Lite, but whatever.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said about that, right? And that's the ability to have that unique fan experience. I think that's part of it. Like, it, you know, those of us that are old enough to remember the movie The Program when it came out, what was the part that hooked freaking Omar Epps' character when he came to the stadium, right? They had his name up on the banner, the Titantron was going, and I was like, oh man, like this is, it's supposed to be somewhat awe-inspiring because, like, unless you're a, you know, super college football nerd and you try and go to a lot of games, maybe some people only get to one or two games in their life and you want them to have a good experience.
The product that Army puts on the field, though, I've only seen them play in the Big House once, and we went to double overtime in that game. Army, and I was honestly torn, you know. I didn't go to West Point, but I'm a Purple Heart veteran. I bleed green. So I was like, man, maybe they'll pull it off. I'll kind of be cheering for them if they do it. But to get that experience at an Army game, I love it. I think it's beautiful, man. Give them all the prestige, and you know, make it pretty if you need to. You know, yeah, like, well, it's Army. They deserve everything they can get because they're not playing with the same bankroll Michigan is.
Yeah. And it's a storied program. And I think, you know, everybody always talks about going to Mikey Stadium to see a game. So what's one other thing that could push it up another level, right? Like, you already got the pomp and circumstance and everything else. And if I can get good food and a tasty beverage on top of that, I think I'll be okay. Dano, do you mind doing the next read?
I do not. And before we go on, though, Joe, you got to come out to Mikey Stadium for a game, man. Like, this is a thing that can get accomplished.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. And also, if either one of you guys can get in for a Michigan game, that's something I can get accomplished here. There's always extra tickets.
All right. Yeah. That's fair. So if you've heard this show before, you know that we have a sponsor in Craig Oxane. He is not a vice president of residential lending. He is the area sales manager for the Money Store. Craig is a West Point graduate, class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but he was recently based out of Chicago. I'm not totally sure he's still there. It doesn't matter. He is one of the biggest VA lenders in the country. He can get you he can lend to you no matter where you are. It doesn't matter where Craig is. It matters where you are. So he's going to offer you super competitive rates. He's going to give you the best deal he possibly can. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but like, the housing market right now is nuts. Like, it's crazy out there. The mortgage process is super confusing. Interest rates are moving all over the place. You know, every day rates are going to go up. No, they're going to go down. Inflation going to go crazy. No, it's going to simmer down. Like, it's a stressful time if you're trying to buy a house. And that's why you'd like to work with somebody that you can actually call on the phone and have a conversation with. And that's Craig Oxane. You know, he's not a big box bank. He's not some mindless website. And this is how the West Point Network functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here at Astro Football, and we're trying to help you get the best deal on a mortgage that you possibly can. Plus, important point, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. That's a huge savings, like $1,300. So save yourself $1,300. Like, it's too easy. So Craig's link is on our website, Craig Oxane, Area Sales Manager at the Money Store. Go to astrofootball.com. You click on the little business card there, either for him or for Jocelyn. We'll help you find your house, find your realtor. We'll get you a mortgage. I'm telling you, Army people move, and we are here to help you do the thing.
All right. Thanks, Dan. So, into the topic, like, we've been talking a lot about off-season stuff, but let's move into some topic close to near and dear to everybody's heart, right? Getting into the football season and week zero. So, a lot of people have been talking in the off-season about, like, what do you do with Army-Navy? And one of the things that we've talked about is the challenge of, you know, the way that the Army-Navy game is structured. It's the last week of the season. It's after championship Saturday, and it's one of the most notable games that everybody wants to see. But here's the other part. You got a ton of pundits out there that are saying, oh, move Army Navy to week zero, right? And the reason why they're saying that is because it cleans up the season. It makes it nice and neat. But, you know, I wouldn't say that I'm like 100% a football purist, but I think I've watched enough college football to remember the time when the Big East shut down and the backyard brawl went away for a while, right? Now imagine taking a rivalry of that competitiveness, or, you know, the war on I-4, and dropping it in week zero. How's the fan base going to take that? So that's the topic this week. What do you think about week zero, moving matchups around? We'll start with Joe, move on with Dano, and then we'll hit up Omar.
I don't mind moving matchups around per se, but when you start talking about the top five biggest games of the year, regardless of who, where you live, Army Navy's in there. Ohio State, Michigan's in there. There's several SEC games that are in there, and I don't think you'll find a single coach that says, yeah, schedule them week one. Why not? We were going to play Toledo, but bring on Alabama. You know, like college football, the beauty of it is that the season, you know, it's a journey, you know, and you start to find out who your team is and you find out who your quarterback is. And I don't think any team, I know Army, Navy, that might start a riot if they move that game to week zero. Like Michigan, Ohio State be the same thing. People would be going nuts. And I don't think any team really wants to face each other week zero. So I get moving some matchups around, but if you're talking about the biggest game of your season, I would prefer to keep that as far into the season as I can.
Yeah, but that's fair. Omar, what are your thoughts?
We got him.
I'm not totally convinced we got him.
He's still muted, so Dan, I'll jump in.
Yeah, so, you know, week zero is fine, especially for non-conference games. Like, they played Notre Dame, Texas A&M, I think, in week one. What was that, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And that was a great early season matchup. But you, like you said, Joe, you wouldn't do Texas versus Texas A&M, which, by the way, is now a conference game in week zero. Like, that's insane. No one would do that. And even this year, you've got K-State versus Iowa State and freaking Ireland in week zero. Like, that's nuts. That's the second biggest rivalry on either of those schools. It's like Army playing Air Force in week zero.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, listen, I know week zero is an opportunity to get a lot of eyes on your program, and I can appreciate why that's important. But, you know, you got to make that for non-conference games. I mean, what the hell?
Yeah. Omar, how about you? You're back now? Right.
Yes. Am I good now?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. Yeah. So again, like just to piggyback off of Dano and Joe, like, yeah, like you wouldn't do this with other rivalries. And it's funny because there's another rivalry that's about to go by the wayside, Notre Dame USC. And week one even is a non-starter for that rivalry. So like, why are we treating Army and Navy like that? And I think what it boils down to is Army Navy has a lasting power and the, yeah, I guess the lasting power to survive no matter like whatever postseason format college football has, right? A lot of rivalries can't say that. Even I'd hate to say it, Joe, like Michigan, Ohio State, where Michigan upset Ohio State and it ended up being like irrelevant in the grand scheme of the season. Like Ohio State still won the national title. Like, you know, Army and Navy can go on without the playoff and or can go on and not participate in the playoff and go on without the playoff in general and not lose relevance at all. I mean, I think that's just what it boils down to. And I think it's funny for me because I guess I came up like as a college football fan with Army and Navy kind of being that sort of, I've seen both sides, I should say. And I know you guys have too, where Army and Navy was at noon on championship weekend. It was the appetizer for the SEC title game on CBS. I can remember like too, just when you look at the stats, like the 2008 game that was on at noon was the lowest rated game of the millennium. And I think the lowest rated game since the 90s, you know, where, you know, Army and Navy was like, we used to be, hey, Army Navy's on, that's cool. You know, let's get on to the bigger games of college football. You know, let's go on to the SEC title game. And I think that's just wrong for a rivalry with Army Navy. And I think this topic is a good combination of everything we talk about, NIL and everything, where those things aren't inherently evil. But at the end of the day, Army Navy represents what college sports used to be and the goodness of college sports, where these guys are not under contract to play sports for a school. They're not receiving any ad money, you know, and that's not to say I'm not trying to say that players don't deserve those type of things. But there's a purity to Army Navy and the fact that it can withstand the changes of the playoff expansion that adds to the beauty of it. So I feel like I just kind of long windedly added to what you guys said, but this is my take on it.
Yeah. Like, look, and I'm not going to beat the dead horse. My only thing is like, hey, look, I'm all for having like a service academy in the beginning of the season. Like if Army would have played like their FCS opponent in week zero, I think that would have cleared up some space for having another bye later in the season. Because like, if you look at the murderer's row of the last month that Army had, they, you know, nobody wants to admit it, but they were nicked up going into the Navy game, right? There were some injuries that were there that were critical that may have been avoided had you had another week off, or you might have had another player available or whatever, because it's all about, you know, it's all about having, you know, the healthiest team as possible going into your rivalry game. Like, you know, in 2016, we saw that. That was like the big bone of contention that the Squids had, was like, oh, well, our quarterback got hurt in the championship game. Well, it sucks to be you, right? Like, that's what you would have told us.
Yeah, football's a rough game.
Yeah, you know, if Bryson Daly wouldn't have been available for the Army Navy game, they were like, "Well, it sucks to be you. Like, we're gonna beat you anyway, right?" And so I think there's it merits it, because like when you look at last year's season, like who would have thought, right? Georgia Tech made national news by freaking, you know, keeping their pimp hand strong on Florida State in week zero. Like they took them out, and like that was an enjoyable game to watch. Like there's a lot of people that enjoyed that. We didn't realize that was like the, you know, the bellwether for the rest of Florida State's season, because they did not play well at all. But the reality of it is like it put Georgia Tech on the map. Everybody knew who Haynes King was after watching that game, because he was such a great quarterback, right? And so I think that there's something to be said about like having that type of exposure. But we also got to look at dollars and cents as well. So, like, if you're looking at a service academy going to Ireland for a week zero game, that's going to be expensive, and that's going to cut into a budget that's already kind of tight and, you know, hard to justify. The reality of it is like, maybe we put the kids on a, you know, on a ship or C-130 and move them over there on government transport and make it a little bit cheaper. But even still, that's going to be an expense that the university or the colleges respectively may or may not want to put into. And so that is one of the things that you just have to consider. Like, I would love to see an early season FCS matchup at Mikey Stadium televised on TV. That would be dope, right? It would be good for the team, and it's good for the other opponent too, because like, if I'm a smaller school and I'm playing Army on national television, that gets my brand out there. That's perfect. Like, if I'm Air Force and I'm playing, you know, a smaller school, you know, that helps them out. And I think there's something to be said about week zero, but I also think that, you know, you could set yourself up for failure, and certainly no coach in their right mind is going to be like, oh yeah, put my rivalry week zero in the Bahamas.
I'm still like, worried about 19-year-old Bryce Underwood going to Norman, Oklahoma in week three.
Yeah.
Or week two. You know, that's gonna be scary.
Well, and that's the thing. And that's the thing that you got to realize is it's like it ebbs and flows. I think week zero for a service academy is probably a better game, because I think they'll be more prepared, just because they don't have a lot of turnover in the off season because of name, image, and likeness and all the other stuff that goes with it. If you look early in the season, the teams that like bought in a whole bunch of NIL players weren't all that great. And then by the end of the year, like those guys were on fire. Look at ECU, you know, just using them as an example in the American, like they caught fire after they played Army and were pretty damn good for the rest of the year. So
look at Notre Dame.
Yeah. Right.
They were one of the best teams in the country, but it take them a little while to come together.
That's another fan base that I've been pretty ruthless with in the off season on Facebook. It's like, okay, look, fellas, I get it. That was a phenomenal run, but I was betting on Ohio State to win the whole thing before they even knew they were playing. I knew that, like you saw, all that roster of 20 million finally became a team after Michigan thumped them and their head coach was like, now Omar said that it was irrelevant, but only because Ohio State won the title. If they didn't win the title, Ryan Day would be on the hottest seat in America. He would, because he was for 3 or 4 weeks. They were like, man, they all wanted him gone. So it was irrelevant in this, how it impacted Ohio State's season on the score sheet. And like champions, my hat's off to them. They could have hung it up. But they woke up and came out and easily were the best team in the playoffs and deserved to win. But yeah. Notre Dame didn't beat Northern Illinois, so they need to calm down with their He-Man talk.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think that's something to be said. Like, look, if
I mean, go ahead.
And like this gets off a little bit of the week zero topic, but like, hey, let's be real here. Like, if you're a Notre Dame fan, great season last year. Hat tip to you. Great. However, if you're really wanting to wade into the knife fight of college football, join the ACC. You're in the ACC for basketball. You know, like put your name in the ring and compete year after year with the same opponents and give yourself, do they have the same opportunity if they play in the ACC as they would as an independent?
All right, so we're well off the rails now, but
yeah.
If you're one school with an independent NBC contract for broadcast, like don't think of them as college football conferences. Think of them as broadcast rights collectives. Like this is the world we're in, and Notre Dame is its own broadcast rights collective. So,
yeah, you know, they are
better or worse.
They are a brand in and of itself. They have been on NBC as long as I can remember since I've been watching college football. And so, like, there's something to be said about that. But we will cover week zero in a little bit more detail when we actually have our week zero show for the college football roundtable. Look, check it out, y'all. We have covered a lot of ground in the last 45 minutes. We appreciate you guys being here. But just a quick note, hey, we're 39 and a butt days before college football starts again, if you can believe it. So we would encourage you to take a look at the Ask for Football website. Sign up for our mailing list. It really helps support the show. Plus, you only get one email a week that gives you all the information and all the articles that we've produced up until that point. And if you're really feeling froggy, you know, and you enjoy what we're doing, check out the Patreon. Register, sign up. It's on the screen. It's flowing by you right now. But it's at patreon.com at Ask for Football. And join us all this season. We're going to be doing picks of the week. We're going to be doing analysis of pre and post games. And you get to hear Joe's Blue Falcon of the Week. And that's always an interesting discussion because he labels a person in infamy that probably did not have the best week in college football. But for the team here at the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable, I am your host, Rob, the Angry Colonel in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Trigger Joe calling to you out of the home of the Big House. We got Dano Icabesa calling to you out of coastal Connecticut. Omar is in Oklahoma, but he has dropped off, so I'm assuring that his internet got jammed. Or he probably had somewhere else to go. But we appreciate him for joining us, and we thank all you guys for checking us out. And, hey, look, we're going to be doing this all season. This is our first preseason show on the college football side. We'll probably have one for the Army football side as well.
It's going to be a couple weeks, I'm just telling you right now. I got a little bit too much going on in my personal life to set that up, but probably last week of July.
Yeah, well, hey, and one last cheap plug, because Dano mentioned it earlier at the top of the show, but if you guys have joined us late, like, he's got the Swim Across the Sound, so please follow Dano and sign up for it. Yeah, sign up for support him on Team Rock the Black Gold, and they're doing the Swim Across the Sound this year, and he does it every year. You know, cancer sucks, so do something about it.
But yeah, it really does.
Yeah, but... Again, for the team here, we really appreciate you checking us out, and we'll see you guys next time. And until then, beat Navy.
Beat them.
Thanks for joining us on the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. Special thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're buying or selling, reach out to Jocelyn for expert service. If you enjoy the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/askforfootball. Your support will help keep the lights on and bring in more great content. Plus, you'll get access to exclusive perks and behind-the-scenes extra. Thanks for being a part of the Ask for Football community. Go Army, beat Navy, and we'll catch you guys next week.